ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 21 टेक्स्ट 8
Tavat
prasanno
Bhagavan
Pushkaraksha Krite Yuge Darshayamasa Tam Kshattaha Shabdam
Brahma
Tathat Apuhu Tavat prasanno Bhagavan Pushkaraksha krite yuge
Darshayama satam shatta
Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu Tavat prasanno Bhagavan Pushkaraksha krite yuge
Darshayama satam shatta
Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu Tavat prasanno Bhagavan Pushkaraksha krite yuge Darshayama satam shatta
Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu Tavat prasanno Bhagavan Pushkaraksha krite yuge Darshayama satam shatta
Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu
Tavat prasanno Bhagavan
Pushkaraksha krite yuge
Darshayama satam shatta Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu
Tavat prasanno Bhagavan Pushkaraksha krite yuge Darshayama satam shatta Shabdam brahma dadhat vapu Tavat prasannaha
being pleased
Bhagavan
the Supreme Personality of Godhead
Pushkaraksha
lotus-eyed
Krite-yuge
in the Satya-yuga
Darshayamasa
show
Tam
to that Kardama Muni
Shattaha
Ovidura
Shabdam
which is to be understood
only through the Vedas
Brahma
the Absolute Truth.
Tadhat
exhibiting
Vapuhu
his transcendental body Then in the Satya Yuga, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, being pleased, showed himself to that Kardama Muni and displayed his transcendental form, which can be understood only through the Vedas. Purport. Here, two points are very significant. The first is that Kardama Muni attained success by yoga practice in the beginning of Satya Yuga, when people used to live for 100,000 years. Kardama Muni attained success, and the Lord, being pleased with him, showed him his form, which is not imaginable. Sometimes the impersonalists recommend that one can arbitrarily concentrate one's mind on some form he imagines or which pleases him. But here it is very clearly said that the form which the Lord showed to Kardama Muni by his divine grace is described in the Vedic literature. Shabdam Brahma. The forms of the Lord are clearly indicated in the Vedic literature. Kardama Muni did not discover any imaginary form, as alleged by rascals, but he actually saw the eternal, blissful, and transcendental form of the Lord. Om Gyanatami Nandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadha Mayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagra Satam Sahagana Gavaratam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sajaitam Sahagutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta 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 Mostite Kapta Kamshana Gopani Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sukhe Devi Pranamami Hoi Priye Vancha Kolpataru Vyashka Kripa Sintho Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Padane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shiva Shri Oratana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tavat Prasanna Bhagavan Pushkaraksha Krite Yuge Darshayama Satam Shatta Shabdham Brahma Dadat Prabhu. Prasanna Bhagavan. The Lord was satisfied, pleased. Everything depends on that. One may do the toughest austerities or give the greatest charity or read and read and read or chant and chant and chant. But unless Krishna is satisfied, there won't be a result. One won't be able to see the personality of Godhead unless he's pleased. What is that? Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo nametaya bahuda shutena. What is this? Something, Tanuna Swam. Anyway, the meaning is that one can't realize the personality of Godhead simply by one's own endeavors or by attending so many lectures or
I said, see you. See you later.
Oh, yeah. or Bahudashutain, the hearing so many things. It's only when the Lord is pleased. Therefore, one is advised, and he's difficult to please. What can we do to satisfy the Lord? Therefore, it's recommended, tad vijnanartam saguru meva vigacchet. If one wants to realize the personality of Godhead, one should approach the bona fide spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat Krishna. When the Lord is satisfied, then Krishna. When the devotee is satisfied, when the spiritual master is satisfied, then Krishna will be satisfied. Here, practically speaking, Brahma functioned as the spiritual master of Kardamuni, directing him what to do. And Kardamuni is carrying out the order or desire of Lord Brahma, or he's undergoing penance in order to be able to fulfill his desire. So the Lord became pleased, prasanna bhagavan. Yes. Prasanna. Pushkaraksha. The Lord is called Pushkaraksha. There's a lot of names for lotuses, Padma, Pushkar, quite a number more, Aravinda. So, Pushkaraksha, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Kriteyuga. In the Kriteyuga, Satyayuga, Kriteya Jayato Vishnu. In Satyayuga, this was the method, meditation, but not Kali Yuga. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is specifically going after the bogus yogis, or those who are teaching yoga as a means of spiritual realization, or what to speak of those who are, of course, it's in one sense more honest that by performing some yoga you'll get good health. That's what you'll get in Kali Yuga. If you perform yoga, you'll keep trim, you'll enjoy good health, you'll be fit. Just that Prabhupada told one devotee that yes, you can practice yoga. He said, we're jumping jacks. It's not that you'll get deep spiritual realization by practicing asana, pratyayama, pratyahara, pranayama, all of that. But jumping jacks, push-ups, you'll get good health. Yoga, that you can get in Kali Yuga by yoga. But not this result, that to see the personality of Godhead. That was the result. That's the actual purpose of yoga. That's the actual purpose of yoga. And Kardamuni achieved success. He was able to see the Lord. Darshayamasa, the Lord revealed himself. The Lord revealed himself. There's another verse. What is that? How about that? Verses are escaping me today. It's a similar verse. I'm not in the production of it. Escaping me today. But the same meaning is there, that when the Lord is pleased, he'll manifest himself, he'll show himself. Darshayamasa. Atasri Krishna Namadi Napaved Krayam Indriya Sevam Mukhi Jivade Swayameva Spurakshira. Yes, but not by gross eye exercises or mental speculation. Can one understand the Lord or the Lord's holy name or qualities. By the seva loke, by service, because the Lord becomes pleased by service. Bhaktya mahamabhijanati yavanyas jasmi tatvadaha. We're chanting the holy name of Krishna. It's not an ordinary thing. It finally depends on Krishna's mercy. Therefore, it's not mechanical that I just chant because I chant a certain number of rounds, or because I chant this way or that way, the result automatically follows. It follows when Krishna is pleased. That's the ultimate thing. We may chant and chant, and if Krishna is not pleased, we won't see anything, or we'll not get the result. So therefore, offenseless chanting, because Krishna is pleased by offenseless chanting. He's not pleased by offenses. But when we chant offenselessly, then Krishna becomes pleased. When Krishna becomes pleased, then he may show his mercy. And when he shows his mercy, then we can actually relish the holy name or appreciate the identity of the holy name with Krishna himself. In the offenseless stage, one realizes Abhinnatam Madhavam. No difference between Krishna and Krishna. Otherwise, in the offensive stage, oh, it's so difficult to chant because it's mechanical. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. And it seems like a great chore. But as we purify ourselves by following the process, as we become purified by following the process, then we get some greater appreciation, greater understanding. Gradually Krishna reveals something. And when one comes to the pure stage, then at every moment, pratipadam purnamrita shravanam, one is relishing in Krishna's presence in the transcendental sound vibration. And then Krishna reveals himself. When Prabhupada said there's no difference between realization of Krishna's name or form qualities, just as when when the leaves on one branch of a tree are, or the fruits on one part of the tree are ripe, then they all ripen at once. So if one becomes mature in chanting Hare Krishna, then the other processes also kick in, or they also mature. Or one realizes, when Krishna realizes Krishna's name, then one realizes Krishna's form also, because name and form are not different. One realizes Krishna's qualities, one realizes Krishna's pastimes, because they're not different from one another. So realization of Krishna's name means realization of everything. When Krishna becomes pleased. Therefore chanting Hare Krishna also means seva mukhi, that in a mood of service, that I'm your servant. Therefore chanting and serving also, whether it's cleaning the temple or distributing books or whatever it may be, when I'm serving and chanting, then I get, of course, chanting itself is serving. But we're not so patient that we'll simply do nam-seva all day with concentration. So different services to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. So everything contributes to everything else. The chanting contributes to service. The service contributes to the chanting. So many things. And the result is finally Krishna becomes pleased. If Krishna becomes pleased, or looking at it another way, if we please Krishna in some way, then chanting becomes possible. Someone is serving Krishna nicely, then Krishna becomes pleased, then the chanting becomes, the way of chanting becomes, opens up to him. Because he has a service mood, service mentality. That's the thing. So Krishna becomes pleased. He's serving my form, or he's serving my devotees. He's serving me, and he's spreading Krishna consciousness. So Krishna becomes pleased. Then one can chant Hare Krishna. Darshayamasatam shatta shabdam brahma dadatvaguru. There's no difference between the Lord's form and the Vedas. The Lord is the personified Vedas, where the Vedas are the sound manifestation of the Lord. Shabda brahma. The Lord in the form of sound. The absolute truth in the form of sound is the Vedas, Shabda Brahma. And Shabdam. Shabdam means according to the Vedas, or in connection with the Vedas. Shabda and Shabda. So Shabda, in connection with the Vedas, through the Vedas, Krishna is understood. Shabda Brahma. And Prabhupada's comment is that mental concoction will not work. To try to figure out what the Lord's form might be like, or try to speculate or concoct, will be useless. One has to understand the form of the Lord through the authorized sound vibration, or through the transcendental sound vibration, not by imagination, not by any other method, by sound. Shabdam Brahma Tadatva Prabhu. The form of the Lord is described in Vedic literature, and by devotional service, one realizes that form. The form is described, but we're getting some information. And when the Lord is pleased, then one actually realizes that form. One can see Krishna face to face, or one realizes there's no difference between the deity and the Lord himself. Shabda Brahma Tadatva Prabhu. The Lord was not impersonal, he was showing his form, and that form was transcendental, not Shabda Brahma, not material form. Shabda Brahma Sanatana. Okay, are there some questions, comments, contributions?
The person that I remember the most in my Krishna consciousness is Jayananda Thakur. I had fortunate association with him. I would so badly want him to come and see him. He would not come. I would physically drag him there. And he's emptying the garbage. He's doing all these menial tasks. And yet, there's only one person, as Srila Prabhupada said, was a pure devotee before he left the planet, 77, and that is Jayananda Thakur. So, it's pretty sublime irony, or whatever, however you want to look at it, that the person who was always doing the most menial service, seemingly menial service, was the one personality which Srila Prabhupada revealed as, of course, I don't want to get into it, but it's very unusual that Srila Prabhupada comes and the very next person that comes is Jayananda Thakur. One opens the first temple, the other opens the second temple. Then they leave at the same time.
Service.
Different devotees, due to their past, struggle more than others. And sometimes, although we say that manifestation of Krishna generally in the beginning is through his devotees, yet sometimes devotees have the biggest problem with devotees. I know when my wife first became a devotee, it was very hard for her. That was one of her austerities, to be able to go beyond external appearances to really connect. So some, more than others, struggle with getting beyond the foam and bubbles of the, like in that verse, of the Ganga is still pure. So maybe just comment a little bit about that, about how it's a kind of a penance in a way. I mean, I guess it can be construed like that depending on your, you can love association, or it can be trying for a person. And some people, due to their particular condition, certain personalities push their buttons or whatever.
Yeah. Well, several things can be said. First of all, on the material platform, other people are a large part of the threefold miseries. Adiatmik, Adidaivik, and other people. Adipotic, mostly human beings, they're the worst. So, but when he becomes a Vaishnav, then it's different. Then instead of becoming a source of misery, the devotee becomes a source of happiness. But we may not always realize that because of externals. But one thing, as you said, we can remember the instructions and remind ourselves that these are not ordinary people, they're engaged in the service of Krishna. Ye bhaje sheva. Anyone who's engaged in the service of Krishna, he's great. Bhaktahincha. And those who are not engaged in devotional service, even if they may seem like very likable people, but they're actually wretched. They're kind of like a likable gangster or something. You know, he's suave, he's well-mannered, he dresses nicely, and he's the head of the local mafia. So even though he may be a likable person or a polite person or a person with a lot of good qualities, he's a crook. Well, anyone who's not engaged in the service of Krishna, in the service of the Supreme Personality of God, he's a crook. He's a, what would you say, a no-good-nick, a rascal, I would say. Another thought is that one is therefore advised to associate with like-minded devotees. Because there are different mentalities. Devotees are on different levels of advancement, or just of different cultures, different dispositions. Some people are very outgoing and very boisterous and active, and some people are quite retiring and introverted and shy. So you put those people together, and they may not, in high dosage, work out very well. But if you put people of like mind together, you know, they'll go out and they'll make a party of men, and they'll do things, and they'll work in that way. Or the introverted people, they'll do more quiet work. So they may find it. That's the congenial to work with like-minded persons. Even culturally, we may find that people of a similar culture will work well together. Birds of a feather flock together. And it's fine to say, you know, we'll put everybody together and have one big happy family. But not everybody may want to work with everybody else. Or, you know, people have language differences. People have cultural differences. People have, the same signals mean different things in different cultures. The ways of doing things are different. The way you look at things are different. And there's a certain extent to which one may adapt, or one, some people are maybe very good at adapting to different environments, but just very natural for people of similar interests or similar backgrounds or similar natures to be together, or people of similar levels of spiritual interest. Those who are very serious about hearing and chanting will want to associate with others who are very serious about hearing and chanting. And those who are sort of, you know, a little hearing, a little chanting, a little tennis, a little basketball, a little television, a little something else, they'll flock together also. And they'll prefer to associate among one another. Of course, for everyone, it's important. We should try to get advanced association. It's not just the association of devotees, although that's very much wanted, but especially the association of advanced devotees. Because if I only associate with devotees on my own level, then I remain sort of comfortable and everything is fine with everybody, we all get on, but we don't make advancement. We don't make advancement. Because there's no push to come to a higher level, or there's no inspiration coming from a higher level. So we're advised, associate with devotees who are more advanced, so that we'll get pulled in that upward current, not associate with devotees who are on the same level or lower, but associate with more advanced devotees also. Then, at the end of it all, then still we have to see that different people of different natures working together, they'll contribute, each will contribute something. If you have all intellectuals, they'll probably not get anything done. You need an MBA in charge or something to see to raising the funds, or see to apportioning the duties, see to the deadlines. You need different people to make different contributions. So Prabhupada said it's like a garland. The garland becomes nice, not because it's all white flowers, but because there's a white flower and a red flower and a blue flower, and there's this scent and that scent. You put them together and you get variety, and then that becomes more pleasing. So on the one side there is birds of a feather, and then on the other side there is also that for the common cause we'll all work together. I think in the British military they had that. They had different regiments. There'd be a Scottish regiment, and there'd be a Gurkha regiment, and there'd be this regiment, because they have the same language, the same, you know, everybody gets it quick, they get on with one another, and you don't have to have cultural integration. You just move in your unit. But at the same time, everyone is fighting for the common cause, so it's not that this unit will work with this unit. All the units will work together, and if you find yourself in the foxholes, you'll fight side by side with whoever it is and work together. So both things may be there, that we seek out like-minded association, and also that we appreciate those who are dissimilar to ourselves and who may contribute in a different way. A certain amount of appreciation and a certain amount of putting up with. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is there a kind of a formula as far as association, like how much peer association, how much senior advanced?
A formula? No. Like, you know, 80%. Peer association, 10%.
I heard in a class by Radha Mohan that peer association is very, very important. And advanced association is important, but we can't do it all the time, otherwise we commit offenses. Like, peer association keeps us, there's like...
That's also, we find that sometimes those who associate with very advanced devotees become victims of familiarity.
Familiarity, contempt.
Yeah. So that may happen. And then, therefore, when he has peers who say, whoa, what were you doing? Then his peers also help him. Yeah. So that's there.
Mm-hmm. So there's a balance.
Yeah, some balance. And to associate with the less advanced also, because by being merciful to the less advanced, the Majjhimadhikari makes advancement. Therefore, all three. The Majjhimadhikari is recommended to do all three. To make friends with those who are on an equal level, to be merciful to those who are less advanced, and to serve those who are more advanced. Yeah. All three. He makes progress by all three.
Yeah. To me, the most, if not the most, one of the most important aspects is judging by the results.
Excuse me?
Judging by the results.
Yeah.
That if you have, you know, desire to distribute to a lot of books, and, you know, at the end of the day, there isn't any books distributed, then maybe there needs to be a change in the methodology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if something's not working, then we may look and say, what needs to be adjusted.
How can we really tell if Krishna is pleased?
How can you really tell if Krishna is pleased?
Sometimes, you know, when they think that or feel that, you know, Krishna may or may not be pleased. You may check with our peers, you know, they may say one thing, you may feel another way. It's just, you know, they may not really know.
Yeah.
How does someone really?
Well, if one is fortunate to have a bona fide spiritual master, then yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadam. When he is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Then what if the spiritual master is not physically present, either he's in California or he's no longer in this world? Then if we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we have some assurance that by following that when we follow the spiritual master's instructions, open instruction. If you want to please me, then do this, do this, do this, do this. By disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, one doesn't make progress. But by following, Prabhupada said, simple thing, just follow. So then we take it that he's pleased. Otherwise, also by seeing by other devotees, not that they're discounted. Prabhupada, one time I asked Prabhupada how, because one has to please the spiritual master by one's service, so how, if you're doing service but the spiritual master is someplace else, how will the spiritual master know that you're doing service or know that you're making advancement? The question was really, you know, how do you get your brownie points? And Prabhupada said, everyone will know. Why only the spiritual master? He sort of took it a different way. That face is the index of mind. Everyone will know. So the devotee, spiritual master is not alone. The devotees are also there. If we're displeasing all the Vaishnavas, then we might want to consider whether we're pleasing Krishna. Now there may be some, you know, there may be some case where all the Vaishnavas are wrong and you're the only one who's right. That may be there. Everyone else is really caught up in Maya and you're the only one who's not bewildered. Everyone else wants to sell and you're the only person who's saying Prabhupada said don't sell, or whatever the case may be. But then we should be very, if we're going to be bold, then we should be very, what's the word? We should know that we're being bold. That if I'm being so bold that everyone else says no and I say yes, then I should be sure of myself. I should, you know, like check all my bases and make sure that, yeah, that's what the Shastra said. Yeah, that's what the letter said. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada told me. Yeah, when we did it, Prabhupada was pleased. When we did the opposite, he was displeased. Doesn't matter that they're all saying no. Yeah, I'm sticking with yes. And the whole world can say no, I'll still say yes. That, so it's not only by counting hands. But on the other hand, generally, you know, who are we and how much do we know? So we consult other Vaishnavas. We take their thoughts and opinions and good wishes into account. And both things are there. What else? Okay.
We do see, although the statements are there about who has good qualities, we do see people, relatively speaking, have good qualities that we can appreciate. Mm-hmm. And that people have, you know, we can say, well, what is Krishna conscious means being conscious of Krishna, but there are some people who have some religion, spirituality, and we can appreciate that. And sometimes devotees don't always do that.
Mm-hmm.
So just another angle of vision as far as, you know, being a broad-minded person, being understanding the statements, what the import of them,
mm-hmm.
the value of being with devotees of Krishna, and still having an appreciation for, you know, people in general or mm-hmm. people on a spiritual path.
Well, Krishna means God, so if someone is God conscious, then his qualities may be appreciated. Otherwise, in materialist, if there's some good qualities, you can consider that his qualities would be so good if only he were Krishna conscious. You know, he's such a great scholar, if only he were a devotee, that scholarship would be really valuable. He's such a hard worker, if only he were Krishna conscious. Instead of working like a mutha, if he were working for Krishna. He's persistent, he's hardworking, he'll do anything you ask him. If only he were Krishna conscious, those would be such wonderful qualities. Sort of, again, kind of like a crook, you know, these clever criminals who could break into anything, you know, they can decode the algorithm or whatever it is, and then swipe your credit card and do anything of the sort. It's brilliant. It takes a sort of brilliance. But it's duskriti. Kriti, but duskriti. It's a spoiled quality or a misdirected quality. Otherwise, sometimes those people start working for the government. And then you say, well, you know, now he's really a valuable guy because he's protecting all the banks and all the government security and so on. When he works for the government, the same miscreant becomes appreciated. Maybe he becomes a national hero or something. At least he's appreciated. So this, the same thing. It's a potentially good quality. It's a potentially good quality.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this example is given in relationship to Lord Chaitanya, because before he manifested himself as himself, he was a scholar,
a wrangler.
You know, he was kind of like made fun of the devotees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, did so many things.
Yeah.
And the devotees were thinking, wow, because he was really brilliant. That if he could just be a devotee, you know, then he'd be such a good devotee.
Yeah, if only Nimai Pandit would become a devotee. He's
yeah.
such a great logician and scholar.
Yeah.
And if only he would be so beautiful, if only he would become a devotee.
Yeah.
We're thinking
the
like
power that. Of the desire of the books.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also was just a scholar and impersonalist. But then when he became a Vaishnava, it all became wonderful.
One in front of the zeros.
Yeah, the ones and the zeros. So all those zeros became valuable all of a sudden.
And sometimes it's said due to his brother's desire for him.
Yeah.
The well-wishing of the devotee.
Yeah.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah. He was desiring Gopinath. Then he became so pleased. Yeah. Brother became brother-in-law. Anything else? Okay.